That is, God's got this. That is the phrase that comes up the most frequently at my Tuesday text study with the pastors from this area when we get together and we look at the text. I would say probably 4 out of every 5 weeks at some point as we're trying to summarize what is this word telling us, somebody will say, well, all right, so it's God's got this. And we all look at each other and say, yeah, yep, that's right, God's got this. And I could not get away from that when I looked at the text before us today. In Ezekiel, if you go back to that text from Ezekiel with the lofty cedar, right? And there's a little twig taken off the topmost of part of that cedar. Why is it taken off? Because if you read the beginning of Ezekiel chapter 17, you will find that the cedar is kind of being used as an image of Judah, of the kingdom of God, of David's kingdom, that has been raised up and has been going along just, well, not so great. And now it started off beautifully, and now it's tumbling down, and they are going into exile, and this lofty, beautiful cedar is coming down, right? That's what's happening here. And so you look at it and say, well, what can stand if this great cedar, noble cedar, can come down? And this passage that we have comes at the end of that chapter to say, God can work with this anyway. God takes the topmost branch. God plants it again. God can grow it into a noble cedar. God can make it be what it needs to be. And then you have this phrase that shows up again in the gospel, and all the birds of the air find their way to it and make their nest within it, right? And so you have this noble cedar, this great nation, this great empire, this great kingdom that was there is brought down, but God can raise it up again. And all of the pronouns in that Ezekiel passage that we read, they're all I, aren't they? I will do this. I will accomplish this. That's so comforting. That should be so very comforting to you today. As we look at our own life and we say, ah, gosh, it just feels like things are falling apart, feels like things are getting out of hand, feels like I don't know how I'm going to be able to hold all of this together. I don't know where the duct tape is, right? We'll be like, I don't know if there's enough duct tape in the world to hold this whole thing together. God says, I will accomplish this, not you. Not you. I will accomplish this. And so he calls us to do a very difficult thing, but it's not the very difficult thing we want to do. The very difficult thing we all take on is accomplishing it. We try to do it. We try to act. We try to figure out how to put it all back together, how to make it look the way we want to, how to hoist the noble cedar back up straight again so that it can be what it was meant to be, what we know it was meant to be, right? That's our goal. Well, if it was brought down, we can do this. And God says, no, I will accomplish this. Our job is not to make it look like what we want it to be, but to do something much more difficult, actually, for us, at least for me, to trust. To trust that God has got this. That God's got this. That despite what it looks like right now, God's got this. God's got you. God's got us. God's made a place for us. You are okay. Because God has things under His control. What an important message for us to hear. as we live in these times. It was an important message for them to hear as they lived in a time when the nation was falling apart and they were going off to exile. And Ezekiel says, don't worry, God's got this. What I find so interesting is that the lectionary pairs this text of this great noble cedar that God will restore with Jesus talking about the kingdom of God. And Jesus doesn't talk about noble cedars, does he? He talks about mustard bushes. He says, the kingdom of God. And I think he maybe has this passage in mind, because what's going on here as they live together, as he talks about the kingdom of God, that God is doing through him and through those who will follow him, it doesn't look like a strong, high, noble cedar. That's not the point of it. It's not supposed to stand tall and make everybody stop in their tracks and say, wow, that is amazing. You guys have got this. You're so amazing. That's not what God has in mind for the church. Instead, what he has in mind, he says, is the kingdom of God will be like this little tiny mustard seed that gets sown in the ground. And mind you, Mark includes this parable beforehand about seeds growing and says they plant them in the ground and then you just kind of go to sleep and you wake up and you go to sleep and you wake up and lo and behold, it grows and then you go out and you harvest it. And he doesn't know how it works. It works. That's the gospel at work in Mark. This also comes on the heels of another passage in Mark that's really important. We know it much better. It's a parable about seeds and soils, right? It says there's seeds cast on all kinds of crazy places where you shouldn't throw seeds, like sidewalks and a bunch of thistles and thorns. And that parable is there right before this one. And you can come out of that parable saying, well, gosh, how can anything grow? When is it finally going to grow? Because there seems like 3 out of 4 soils are not going to accept the kingdom of God. But God says in Mark's gospel, he says, what? The seed gets planted and it grows. You don't know how it does it. It just does it. And then he says, and that seed is like a little tiny little mustard seed. It grows into the greatest of all shrubs. You have to laugh at this. How many of you have seen mustard seed, mustard shrubs? Bob, I know you've seen them in Israel, right? And they get pretty big, right? But they're not noble, are they? They're kind of, they have multiple trunks. They're not trees, they're shrubs, they grow all over the place. They get into places where they don't belong. This is one of the great things about mustard. Great, unless you are trying to keep them out, right? They will get into anything. They'll grow anywhere. They grow and if you don't cut them back, they're going to get big. They're going to keep growing. They're going to provide. That's the image that Jesus says for the kingdom of God. This is who, if we want to be part of the kingdom of God, this is the image we have. We should be people who get into places where we don't belong and grow. All right. That sounds not very Lutheran. But it is exactly who we are. But it isn't about us doing the work, is it? We are simply what God is growing. We let God grow in us. We let God do the work. We trust God to be at work. We don't try to control what God is doing. See, I'm saying we don't do any of these things, and if you're like me, you're hearing in the back of your head, no, I do that. I try to do the work. I try to make it be what I want it to be, and I try to control what God is doing. But the message is clear. The kingdom of God grows despite all my efforts. It grows. The kingdom of God includes you, even if you don't want it to. The kingdom of God gets into you. Why? Because you tended it? Because you made it happen? No, because that's what the kingdom does. Because that's what God does. And at the end of the day, as we look out on what God has done, may we say triumphantly, praise God, because God's got this. Amen.